So I'll do all my mattocks and all the shovels. All of them, everything gets sharpened.
You're a proper interesting bloke, aren't you?
I am nothing but interesting, sir. You know, you go for a drink with me and never be bored.
I've been for a drink with you, mate.
I know, right? Never again, either.
Welcome everybody, we're back on the Outside Crowd podcast and I'm with three people. I was going to call them tools because tonight we're talking about tools, so I've with three tools here. We have Ryan, Jake and Billy. So I think it's tools of the trade, everybody uses them, and as we got people from three slightly different professions, it's interesting to know what they use and why, so we're just going to let them let rip, and this isn't any sort of product endorsement or anything like this. This is just basically
I would like a new drill.
This is just basically what the team like, what they like using, what they're not so keen on and why. So let's throw it over to the boys and say, what's your favourite bit of kit?
It's got to be my mattock. I love digging a hole. I'm a big fan of a mattock, but it's not really a power tool. But you're probably a bit of a steel man here.
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the two big names in chainsaws is Husqvarna and Steel. But I use Steel because I've just learned on them and I just like them. The only problem is their parts are really expensive and they have, at the moment, for some reason, about 2 months waiting time for any single part, which is very annoying.
Is that the same for both Steel and Husqvarna?
I don't know because I don't use them.
Oh.
I've no idea. But what we do use as well is Echo, which is a Japanese... Japanese brand, which are really good. And I just find them infinitely more reliable, so you're not, although the wait time might be even longer than Steel, I haven't had to get parts too many times from them because they've got to come from Japan as opposed from Europe. I'm not sure how much of a difference that makes anymore, but they're just really reliable. It's like buying a Honda car or a Subaru or something, because you know they just break down less than a German car would. But I suppose they're less complicated. They're old school equipment. And a lot of people use them, especially their top handle chainsaws, because they weigh nothing. They're like the lightest in the industry, really. That's what I would say on that.
That's you and you.
That's me.
You wait till he hears about his chipper.
You were just about to start that.
We'll get around to chippers in a minute. How about you, Jake? What do you use for your decking?
Oh, I'm Team Blue.
Team Blue.
Makita everywhere on our sites.
All the way.
So, we've just got everything Makita. We've got chop saws, angle grinders, everything's...
What about Titan?
Battery.
Titan, get out of here, will you, for God's sake?
No, they're good for getting you out of trouble when you've left your tools at home.
Yeah,
because they're cheap enough to...
Yeah, you can buy a chop saw for about £4.
Yeah.
And then... It's not great, but I mean...
No, well, I think Makita, it's like you said, when you were taught on one, like, you know, the lads I used to work for.
Are you Makita as well, are you?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the best.
Come on, man.
Makita?
Did you say Makita?
Yeah, Makita.
Yeah, Makita.
What's the red one?
Red
Milwaukee.
One. Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Well,
yeah. They're meant to be very good, aren't they?
Milwaukee are pretty good. I mean, it's interesting, I guess... I mean, a lot of people say, you know, everyone's kind of backing everything different. And once you start with something, you kind of, that's the kind of the way it is. I mean...
Well, I started with Black & Decker.
Did you really?
Got no other choice. Yeah, plug in 240 Black & Decker. We couldn't actually change the blade on it, so we used to set fire to the wood as we were cutting it. It melted through it. But... No, but eventually I earned enough money to buy it.
Well, I remember I've still got my first drill set I bought, and it's a 2011 plate, I bought it.
That's heavy.
I bought it. Yeah, right. Actually, I borrowed another friend of mine's Makita, his Impact, and I tell you what, he has a new Impact, and it sang against mine, and I was so upset, you know, but I've had them for so long, because, you know, if you look after kit, it lasts, you know, like 2011, I've had my Combi Drill and my Impact, you know, and I always say to people, buy things in boxes. These people, the people buy stuff, buy drills or something, they have them in bags. If you're a landscaper and you haven't got your tools in a box, go buy one, you know, because, and that is something actually... Talking about kit, you know, DeWalt, they do, you know, some pretty good toolboxes, which is quite handy, because I've got a Makita Makita skill saw that will cut circular saw. Makita circular saw that will cut through 100mm sleepers. So it's handy because, you know, you're not having to use a chop saw. You're not having that danger of trying to have up onto the chop saw. You know, you've got the freedom of being able to have your chop saw on the pile of oak sleepers, and you can then rip through them. But, you know, it didn't come in a box. And the box that I did ask, you know, I said it come in the box. It's not as tough as the DeWalt one. So I've actually, this might be go mad. Some people might go mad. I've actually got a Makita circular saw in at one of the DeWalt boxes, like the nail gun boxes, the second and first fit nail gun boxes, like, yeah. Because they are handy. Keep them all in boxes, you know, and you know all the stuff stays in there. So when you need it, you just pick up that one box. Everything's in it, stays clean and dry. You know, tools do last when you look after them, yeah. Especially good quality ones.
We do use DeWalt T-Stack as well.
Oh, yeah.
For our storage, because it is
That's it, strong. Yeah. But yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I think that's the one that I guess definitely in our industry, you know, we are out in the elements. You know, there's having that security, knowing, because it is expensive kit. You know, if you've got a bit of expensive kit, you know, you want to look after it. And having them good boxes are handy, because I've got my circular saw, my jigsaw, you know, bits and pieces inside that box. So if we need it, you know, it's handy to have the box. Plus, they are quite big that you can actually rest something on them. You know, you can if you have two of them there, you've got your little tape, you can actually create a table so you can work up off the floor. So.
Don't you have a workmate?
Lack
and Decker workmate?
No, I can't remember that from a long time ago. Hey, do you remember them?
We're winding together, clamp the thing.
I was wondering if Jake might have had one when he started with his...
still got it.
My granddad Bunt used to have one, yeah. He used to do it, and he used to make... he used to actually make little reindeers every year, and... he used to clamp he was just a bit of silver birch or a bit of hazel that had shot out from the ground, and he'd make the legs and he'd put it in there and
clamp it. Two wheels on each side, eh? Yeah. If you do one too fast, the other one's real tight.
He would spend about a day and a half to make a reindeer, and he'd sell it for about a fiver. And he just did it.
Find a job you love, they say.
Yeah, he didn't do it for money.
No,
But that was a little Black & Decker brilliant. Table.
So what do you find, because you guys usually use, like, you know, decent kit. Do you find there is much difference between the top-end manufacturers? Or do you...
Yeah. It is, it's hard, it's...
Or is it just personal preference?
I think a lot of it is personal preferences, and a lot of it is... Certain manufacturers will be targeted to more, you know... Like Husqvarna, a lot of people who do forestry will use them.
Or farmers.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, all the farming boys love a Husky.
Husqvarna.
Yeah.
You can get a really cheap Husqvarna as well.
That's probably why then.
Well, maybe. But, yeah, so and, you know, there's, like, chipper brands.
There it is. You couldn't get a grin off his face.
There'll be certain brands that we, you know, for more commercial stuff, like Crane Fed, and, you know... That's where you'd go, like the big American manufacturers like Bandit and whatnot. But between the towable road chippers, it kind of is just down to preference. I mean, like, quite often you'll choose, okay, well, this manufacturer, they have a dealer that's near me, and that means I can get it serviced by them. And also they'll do anything under warranty. And that's going to mean a lot more to you than, let's say, because you like the colour of another one or you thought it performed slightly better. So...
Is that the most expensive bit of kit you got, your chipper?
No. I mean, apart from vehicles, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
How many you got?
One really good one. It's the hardest working chipper in the world.
Didn't you get a demo the other day, you said?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I got a demo because I want to have another team out in January. And that means getting another chipper, but same brand again.
Would you get it tracked?
So who are the chipper manufacturers? I'm not really up on that.
So the main brands are Jensen, Timberwolf, Greenmech, Forst.
Right.
Forst seem to be very popular, but Greenmech are sort of they always were. People always seem to moan at them if you look on
our
there's
a Facebook group, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. But there is one for every single manufacturer. But it seems to get a lot of hate for some reason on Optal. But they're getting better and better and better, and a lot of people are turning towards them now because, one, they're British made, so the parts come fairly quickly. And I mean, so I use Greenmech, and 90% of the time, unless it's a catastrophic failure, they'll fix it over the phone. And you phone the guy up, and he sorts it out for you.
Well, he gives you instructions.
Yeah, he just gives you instructions. He does. He does, and you'll be under there, you know, you have the phone like that. And
there's nothing worse than being stuck somewhere for something so silly. Having that flexibility, hey, yo, this has happened, what do we need to do?
They've done it so many times for me now, they've got me out of a really sticky situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
Like, for example, like the other day, it just had a complete and utter failure. The screen went off, the engine went off, the key wasn't responding, nothing was working. I was like, I think it's gone kaput. Like, and then I would have had to take it, it would have been a day out somewhere, they'd have had to scratch their chins about it. But I literally phoned up and he said, yeah, lad, I don't know what's up with that. And he told me that if I go into the fuse box, he's like, go into the fuse box because it's here, and he said, take the fuse out and put it in a different holder because sometimes the holder breaks. I was like, okay, wrapped it up with loads of tape and did that. And hey, Presto.
There you go.
Cool, yeah. That would have cost you a day.
I need to sort that out, actually, because I still like that.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, that's actually quite good. Yeah, I need to get that sorted.
We did that with Kaboot, with the diggers once, and we had one delivered, and I couldn't get it going. And we got through to Kabuta, and it was the seatbelt had to be engaged to use this new digger.
Well,
I was so it's always used to safety, jumping on them. Yeah.
It's always something to do with safety.
It did hold us up, but we just had to put the seatbelt in and carry on.
The first thing I do, if it doesn't, process elimination, if it doesn't start for the conventional kind of, does it have fuel? Does it, you know, the simple stuff. After that, it's safety. Doesn't matter what it is. There's a button somewhere that does something. We got a mower there the other day, ride on, and I took the box off the back because it was easier for us to take it off the vehicle. Because I didn't put the back grass catcher on, I was thinking, I'll have a bit of a spin with this before I go to my next meeting. Drove around having a crack, and I thought to myself, I'd like to see what them blades are doing. And for love nor money. And I thought to myself, hang on, it's got to be safety. Yeah, it's just a clip at the back there. And the thing is, you think, I'm nowhere near the blades. You know what I mean? The back there is nowhere near that grass box. There's nothing to do
with it. Yeah, but it could flick stuff up as well, couldn't it?
That's what I'm trying to do, flicking the neighbours. But there is a field next, so I'm joking.
So what's your view now? Because especially with, you know, sort of climate implications and things and being environmentally friendly, do you prefer using sort of like the fuel-powered equipment, or would you prefer to have electrically charged and rechargeable?
Quite a good one. Well, I mean,
is there much benefit, you know, in using one or t'other?
It's kind of, I mean, the thing, the noise aspect for me, I mean, I know that the Dewalt guys have been doing quite a lot, and everyone really, you know, have been doing quite a lot, but I do know, I guess years ago, I think Dewalt were a little bit ahead on their batteries, you know, especially with their chop saws and stuff like that, because they've got the battery powered chop saws. I think it would, you know, being the noise, you know, not having that power cable running through the site, so you've got that safety aspect of it straight away. You know, there are things that are quite handy to have as battery powered. I mean, like petrol grinders. You know, there's the bigger grinders that are now battery fed. Battery powered, and you know, they are a bit better.
Would you change over wholesale for one to other, or would you do it gradually, or would you just say, "I'm definitely going to use a petrol"?
I think I would use. I mean, because you know, still do a lovely battery powered. I mean, saw as well as a little grinder. But for what we need it for, we do need the power, especially cutting through them bigger flagstones. We do need the power there. But I think. Little things, you know, I think the smaller items, I think, are...
If I could, I would swap all over to electric, but I don't... It's just not up to standard yet.
Not yet, that's the thing.
I mean, I think for your domestic user, they're perfectly viable, but for in a commercial setting, or if you're doing it as your profession, they're not up to standard. I mean, the top-handle chainsaws, there's a lot of electric ones, and a lot of people are using them because... How often are you cutting? You spend most of your time going out to the limb, and then once you set, it's, you know, you've made one cut. Yeah. And I actually, when I did my climbing tickets, that's what I use. I use a Husqvarna electric top handle chainsaw, and it's great for communication because that is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Although we've got a helmet communication, just to be able to go, you're just talking into it, you know, it's really good. And quite often, if the saw's going, you know, someone's out the front next to the chipper, if you've got a helmet communication, it's still really hard to hear someone. But if you had a battery everything, then I think that could be really good. But I mean, there's a few companies, like there's a company called TP, which I think is Scandinavian, and they've got a electric chipper out.
Have they really?
It's still noisy.
Yeah, they're really noisy.
they've got to whir up, and then you're putting a bit of wood, which is being chipped, and that's just going to be naturally noisy. But
they can't last for long on a charge, can they?
I don't know. Apparently they're quite good, but they're mega expensive.
Well, I think you're right. I feel like it's just in some aspects it's not there yet. But the that top handle, a friend of mine who's a tree surgeon, he's out in Canada at the minute, and you know, fair play, he's always talking about you know electric, you know, being powered, because it is, you know, it is. You've got the noise, you've got the chemical, you've got the
If I could not be next, like, within a foot away from a two-stroke exhaust pipe most of the day, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would like to know how many years have been shaved off my life from it. It's probably horrible.
I think a lot of the time, if you do opt for battery, you need to have sharp blades, because if you have a battery, we've got battery everything. Yeah. As soon as the blade's on its way,
batteries. The thing is that I would... you're absolutely right, but I would... For me, I... always keep everything as sharp as possible. You know, always. Like, everything is as sharp as possible.
All right.
Because it is. No, you're right, though, because you're...
It does
you're,
kill batteries.
But it kills batteries. It's also... It's kind of dangerous as well, if you, especially because I've... Like I said, that big skill saw I've got, that circular saw, you know, cuts to 100 mil, you know, oak. So if you're cutting to 100 mil oak, you know, and then you've got a bit of a dull blade on that, and that kicks, well, you know,
blades,
kick like a mule.
The blades are the best part of 100 pounds. Well,
no, they are, but the thing is, there are lads around here.
Well, can you sharpen them?
Yeah, you can. You get them sent.
What, with all those tiny little
teeth?
That's
it, yeah, all the tiny bits. Yeah, they get sharpened, yeah.
Oh, you send them off?
But yeah, that's it, yeah. You wouldn't do it yourself, absolutely not. But
well, that's just time, though, isn't it?
But they're, like you said, they're 100 quid. As much as, so if you have two rotating, you know, so you have a sharp one constantly. If something happens, you have that other backup sharp. If that happens, you send that off to get sharpened and back again.
When it's less than 100 pounds?
Well, for me, I guess for me it's more the I wouldn't like to waste it. There's like a chain.
How much does it cost to sharpen them?
I think they're about...
£20 or something.
So yeah, that's it. That's
plus
it.
Postage.
But that's it. But no, there's lads that come out to site to do it. So there's people who sharpen tools up.
Can you just make it into a plate or something?
You could make it into a clock.
Or dinner
plate.
Yeah, do that.
So it is worth it.
But you sharpen all your chainsaw chains, don't you? You do that, and that's pretty time consuming, I imagine. It's certainly...
It depends how often you do it as well. If you use them, you know, for a long time, then it's going to be a long time to sharpen them. But if, you know, at the end of each job, you just run the.
Do you ever use? Do you ever have in the workshop? Do you have electric? Do you have a
electric sharpener? Yeah. We'll only use it if we've gone through some metal or something.
Yeah, sure.
So what we'll do is we grind past the.
We have to anyway. The smallest tooth has to be the.
Yeah, so we'll grind past that.
Yeah.
And then we'll just finish it off with a hand file to get back where it is. But if you try and hand file something you've gone through metal with and it's all bent over, you'll be there for days. So what we do is we have like a hook and we just have all the old, cruddy old files on. Chains on there, but like sometimes if it's a bit of a yard day, we'll like stick them through the electric.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then we'll do a hand file of them. But you know, if you've, you know, sometimes we did this one job and it was a massive tree, and I've, you know, it's got a 32 inch bar on it, which is, you know, a fair size, and you can think of how big the chain is on it. And there was a massive bit of flint in the middle of the tree. Literally, it had obviously grown up from when it was a sapling, and it was about 10 foot up the tree. Not 10 foot, about probably about 5 metres, and it was a big bit of flint like that, right in the middle.
Way.
Yeah. And it had all been moulded round by the tree. It was incredible. Anyway, but we went straight through it with the chainsaw. So every time I was like, what the bloody hell is that right there? I was like, we're about, you know, 5 metres up. How can that pot? It can't be a bit of stone. And then it was. So, and the chain itself is probably about 45 quid. And then, you know, I'm not going to... It takes about an hour to sharpen that if you're going to do it all by hand.
Ooh. We sharpen our shovels we sharpen about 3 times a year. So I'll do all my mattocks and all the shovels. All of them, everything gets sharpened.
Interesting bloke, isn't you?
I am nothing but interesting, sir. You know, you go for a drink with me, you'll never be bored.
I've been for a drink with you, mate.
I know, right? Never again, is it?
Could you offer that as a training scheme, Ryan? Shovel stir.
Turn up, you man.
So none of you, most of you stick with one brand then? You'll tend to stick with a brand?
No, happy to try.
Or you're happy, or will you mix and match, just try a bit of kit and then say if you like that, buy it?
I think it's, if, like, you know, we've got DeWalt nail guns. Yes, you know, Makita do have a nail gun, but they are big and bulky.
What about Passload?
The Paslo. Yeah, you're talking about gas then again. You know, you've got the gas, and because
they're wicked. Don't,
they are, yes, but we don't use them as much because, you know, we'll have fencing on our projects, you know, as we're doing them. So, you know, we'll have that tool to hand. But, you know, having the Pazload, I mean...
Do electric ones not... You don't have to...
No gas.
Really?
No,
how does it work? It just compresses the air. Yeah, it must take a bit longer, doesn't it?
No, because you have rapid... Because there's rapid nail setting on it. So if you're doing feather edge...
Yeah, but you do need to put a full-size battery on, don't you? Opposed to... Pazload's tiny battery.
Yeah, it's a tiny little
battery. Yeah, but that's only... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
But I just like the...
Do you?
That is cool, isn't it?
Your sound effects are good. Do not give him a Pazload.
No, I've used them, mate. I love them.
You're taking away from me straight away.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Pazloads are good.
I used to use them a lot when I was building.
It's tricky when it's cold.
That's the thing. That's exactly right. And the thing is, when you do fencing, you do fencing when the ground is softer, so it's easier to dig. And usually,
are you that fussy?
No, I am. Yes, across the board, yes. But you know, if you are using in different weathers, you know, and it's that cold, you know, and you've got sleeves trying to take slats apart and they're all stuck together with the frost still.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you need is a Pazload out there because it just wouldn't work. So. You know, we do mix across the board. Depending on, you know, I got recommended to, when I said I'm looking for a nail gun, who uses what, you know, that kind of way. I had a friend of mine who said I use the DeWalt's, and again, because I can get it in a box, I got the first and second fix, you know, and it's just, that's what sold it to me, really.
Right. What sort of kit have you got any kit that you haven't got, Jake, that you need to get?
All of it.
I've got everything I need. There's a few things that are sort of, you don't need them, but it'd be really I mean, we've got all of the track saws that you can get. Track saws that...
Do you use Festool at all?
No. I find Festool's more like internal trades. We aren't as... We are precise. Definitely, we are precise. But that's in a kitchen, joinery, you've got...
I did some decking and used to Festool. It was wicked. It wasn't my profession.
No, no. I'm sure.
Part of that conversation. I want to be a part of this.
Mate, it is proper
talking about Pazload.
You get the old Festool out. It's good.
I think Festool are incredible. Like, they're well up there in their game. I do feel like it probably is catered to every trade, but
I think the boxes though in themselves, you know, they're not for outside. You know, when you have the lid off them,
I feel like a kitchen fitter, sort of internal second fix carpenter.
Yeah.
I feel like Makita's more suited to the first fix carpenters and deck installers, roofers, and stuff like that. Might not be the case whatsoever, but that's how I see it is. Yeah, it's Makita's just our favourite. And if there was a tool that I could buy, it probably would be a reducer.
Oh, okay.
A reducer?
A board reducer, the reducer. Because...
Thicknesser.
Yeah,
it's
a thicknesser.
A thicknesser, sorry, not a reducer, a thicknesser.
Well, oh, right.
Is it? Quite often we work with boards that have got a very slight defect, but some of the boards we're working with are sort of 150 a square metre. Or £80 per board, or however you want to see it. And if there's a discrepancy and you've got a couple of boards left, it'd be good to run it through so you can get it all flat without using shims and stuff like that. At least you can get...
Oh, I see. Yeah. You could run it through that. That would be...
Yeah, just take some 1mm off of one side.
Yeah,
and then...
they're pretty big machines, though. They're not light.
No, they're not. You would probably buy it in 240 and you'd probably only use it... Well... 10 times a year, hence not buying one.
Yeah.
But
if you did have
if work, I could, it'd be cool.
What would you buy?
A luxury tool.
Yeah, what I know, that's what I'm just thinking. Like, what would you get?
What would I buy?
What you don't need, something that you like,
What I don't need at the moment, but I would have, is probably like a 7.5-ton lorry with a grab loader on it. That's probably what I'd have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I could, it'd be nice to have a cherry picker. That'd be brilliant. Yeah. That'd be
fast track. Purchase.
Yeah,
fast track the crane.
Yeah, or even a crane. No, that'd be good.
What about one of them big tree cutter things?
A tree shear.
Yeah,
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't have much use for it at all. But it, what it does, it gives you access to commercial jobs or forestry, I guess.
Yes.
If you can market it properly. But they're amazing. But then you've got to buy a machine to add onto it. They're normally mounted on a tractor or a do people want new Unimogs? I don't know. But they're brilliant, and especially if you're working on trees that are dangerous.
Yes.
Like ash dieback, where they, you're not insured if you climb them, or they're just too dangerous.
Yeah.
And if there's not access for a cherry picker, i.e., because it's really muddy, those track cherry pickers, they get stuck within 2 seconds. But if you can get a tractor in quite a few places, you go there and at the side of the road.
How'd they go?
So that would be your most important bit. Would you rent a cherry picker?
I think for me at the moment, where it's going, a cherry picker would just make me far more productive, yeah.
I just want a new shovel for some reason. That's all I've got. I'd love a brand new little, maybe like a little cable layer in Newcastle. Something like that. It's nothing really, but that is...
A cable layer?
A cable layer, yeah.
Yeah, so they're cool, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, man. So it's the only way. It's a mini graft. I've always got that in the back of the car. Always. Don't matter where I'm going. Either that and a mattock. Doesn't matter if I'm hanging curtains. I've got one in there with me.
Right. What about maintenance? Spend a lot? Cost a lot? Out of proportion to what you expect?
Well, it's
definitely... Spares are just sometimes, it's just like, you buy the kit's reasonably priced, and then you go and buy a spare, and it's just totally disproportionate.
It's like the shave, isn't it? Buy the shaver, best shave ever. Yeah. This is only £3. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. £3 for the kit and the razors, yeah, that's so 17
pounds. Does that still work with your sort of high-end kit that you use?
I think because it does cost quite a lot. I mean, I know every all the engines we have, anything with the engine, like our Bella Wacker plate, bits like that, I'd always make sure they're serviced. We've got spare belts at the yard and stuff like that, always like that. But I'd always keep everything up to date as best I can, because it is, once you drop it into somebody, go, can you fix this? The price goes through the roof.
Mm.
And it does cost a wee bit, but...
Yeah.
What about things... Yes, I was going to ask... Have any of you ever taken out an extended warranty with any of them, any of your kit?
All the stuff I've bought has been too old to even have a warranty on it, so...
It just makes me laugh now. Everything you buy, you always get, they want to sell you an extended warranty, so you're like...
I've just got an extended warranty on a van. That's worth it.
Oh, yeah, that's probably... Sure.
Yeah,
that's
but...
But kit,
I don't know.
To be fair, if it was expensive enough...
Unless it's a big one...
Mm.
Like a big purchase, like a chipper. then there could be an argument, but I don't even know if they offer extended warranties on that, because they get worked so hard, chippers. I don't know. If I depends how much it costs, I guess.
How much does a chipper cost?
Or the extended warranty?
Your second one.
How much do they cost?
Yeah.
Depends what you want, mate.
The best.
Oh,
come on, what one do you want? Come on! You had a demo. What did you demo the other day?
That one. Yeah, that was a.
Cool. No, don't act like you don't know the numbers.
Obviously, I know all the numbers. It's a Greenmech Evo 165P. I've demoed the diesel, and then I've demoed the petrol, and the petrol actually.
Petrol.
Yeah.
Oh well.
And I turned my nose up at petrol.
Yeah, sure.
But they're 300 kilograms lighter.
Oh wow.
So if you're trying to push around, because the minute the towing, before you could only tow sub 750 if you didn't have a license, and now they've scrapped that. So as long as the gross weight of the vehicle is 3.5 tons, or the combined weight of the two, a lot of the smaller shippers, the weight went up, and so the diesel Greenmech now, it weighs over a ton. And I tried to push it around. I was like, bloody hell, if you're on a little driveway with a slight incline, that's going to be a pain in the ass. Even if you've got three lads on it, and the petrol one is sub 750. It's I think it's 720 something kilograms.
Wow!
And honestly, it's way quicker than the diesel one I've got now. It's amazing, and it's $2,500 cheaper than the diesel one.
But how much does it cost?
It comes in at 17.5 plus VAT.
And an extended warranty.
that's a 3.
They only guarantee you wouldn't get your money back.
It's a 3-year warranty.
You get a 3-year warranty.
You get a 3-year parts and labour warranty.
That's not bad. What's the most expensive kit you've got, Jake?
Well, we've got the vehicles, but...
Yeah.
Which they work for you to a certain extent, but probably the big saws, the table saws, the nail guns, and stuff, they're usually between 500 and 600 each. I know that's not, we're not talking chipper money.
No, he stopped doing it. No. We're talking about a different story, so yeah. It's not about you. Sorry,
500 quid. Gosh,
yes, do you have diggers as well? Right?
Oh yeah, diggers. Do you have so many diggers?
No, we don't. Oh, right. I don't personally. No, like, I don't.
Can you buy us? Can you buy us one?
Well, mate, a digger for me would be very handy as well. Actually, that's another thing that'd be really handy for me. It's a skid steer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mini skid steers are so handy. Yeah. That takes the job off of 2 groundies for that.
Easily.
That would be amazing. Yeah, a cherry pick and a skid steer. Done.
Christmas done for you.
Get rid of all your staff.
Yeah, it's just me on my own. Machines.
Remote control.
Happy as Larry.
Really lonely.
And then I suppose then the insurance premiums for all this stuff must cost a few bob as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all... It took
me years to get to here. You know what I mean? It's not like you can go out and buy. You know, each kit. You know, you just buy it as and when. You know, once you have that bit of kit, how do you survive without it? You know what I mean? You know, with a skid steer. Yeah, right. You wait till I get one of them. Oh God, get a cable out. No, but if you do get that skid steer, you kind of like and you took it away again, you probably think, how did we survive?
Yeah.
I mean, how did you survive that?
You'd probably just factor in to get another, wouldn't you? If you did get a skid, what's it called?
Skid steer.
Skid steer.
Yeah, and or a machine like that, you'd probably then factor that into your next jobs anyway, and you'd probably get a second skid steer before long, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess. I would guess.
So you probably have a couple of chippers.
I haven't got a pod to piss in, mate.
That's what we're all laughing. Yeah. Like, just to clarify, it took me years. I've still got a bit of kit that I remember because Makita, we always try to use. You were saying about crossing over. We do if the kit it kind of works in its class. You know, like so we've got a Bosch breaker. You know, I've always had to use the Bosch breakers.
Bosch.
And I've always used them. And that breaker cost me I wouldn't say I'd get much change from £1,000 for the breaker. But it is a really, really good, really good breaker. But I remember buying my first SDS. And I went to a project and there was a speed ramp. I remember putting a speed ramp in somewhere. And across a bit of a yard space. And I remember looking at myself, I haven't got one of these for this job. I haven't got one. So I had, you know, as we have now, no money, you know, but I remember each job, I remember what job paid for what tool, you know, what I needed at the time. Yeah, it's just...
So it's a milestone, isn't it, when you finally get that bit of kit that you want.
Blood, sweat and tears.
It's like one of those jobs that's coming in, right, I haven't got this specific piece of kit, so what I'll do... I earn no money on this job, but I'll get a new tool.
Yeah.
And then you never get another job like it again in your life. And
that's what I did. Shiny tool in the shed that another job with profit.
What's profit?
But that's what I did. I remember coming home and my girlfriend at the time, she's like, oh, are you back? Did you go to shop to get something to eat? And I came in going, Bosch. SDS. No money, no food.
that's the trouble, isn't it? It is. It's an expensive game. And, you know, what you do, there's an awful lot of kit you need and there's an awful lot of expense. Even just around when I'm doing stuff around the house, just trying to buy stuff, it's expensive. So, you know, fair play to you guys. But I think we've covered most of the stuff. So, final thoughts, anything that you'd like to leave with?
I would say buy on reliability, buy on support. Thank you very much.
I'm going to use his one. Nothing else. That's it. Spot on.
I was just waiting for you to say, buy steel.
And use my discount code. Yeah. Discount code. No, discount code.
Jake, anything you want to add at the end?
Oh, no. What I would say is if you're in need of a tool, before going for the cheapest one, I would say hold out a couple more weeks to get the best version of that tool.
Yes, exactly.
Because if you're already in the position where you need that tool,
yeah.
Quite often we've gone and said, oh, but there's a similar one that's £100 less.
Nah.
You regret it straight away, but then you're back to zero and you still could do with the better version.
So they say, buy at a cheap price, buy it twice.
That's it.
Yeah. There you go. God, you're full of them today.
I know.
Ryan, any final words of wisdom?
No, I think like Jake said, I think, you know, buy quality, you know, buy it once. Buy it once and look after it. I think that's the only thing for me is if you do need it, like you're saying, you know, look for the quality, you know, ask around, you know, and do get some feedback. You know, and that's about it. But
brilliant. Yeah. Well, I suppose on that, I'll be down to home base this weekend.
What, to buy Black and Decker?
Yeah, wrong place.
You're going to buy in there a plant?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see what I come up with. But no, brilliant. No, thanks, guys. It's been a good chat and, covered some interesting stuff. So goodbye from the team.
See you later, guys.
See you later.
And we'll see you next time on another Outside Crowd podcast.